Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Luke's Gospel account, the second chapter. Beloved in the Lord, everything that happens in the Gospel, everywhere Jesus goes, every word he speaks, every miracle he works, every deed done, every life touched, every prophecy fulfilled, every step taken, blood dropped, lash felt, brow pierced, nail driven, body buried, tomb sealed on Friday, and found empty on Sunday, everything happens for you, for the world. Christmas is all about Jesus for you. And Jesus for you is always in light of his passion for you. So when St. Luke records that the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him, Luke records this for you. For you to receive by faith, clinging to these words, making them your own in your heart. So we hear that even as a child, Jesus is working your salvation. Mm-hmm. Here in our text, Jesus bows to the will of his mother and father. The greater one submits to the lesser. The Creator respects those whom he's created. His dignity is not dishonored by such humility. His worth is not lessened by obedience. His personal growth is not stunted with religious observances. In fact, quite the opposite. Mm. Jesus grows. Jesus matures and becomes strong in spirit. He's filled with wisdom and the grace of God is upon him. And all this Jesus does, Jesus suffers, Jesus submits to, because Jesus is doing all of this for you. Mm-hmm. He's doing all of this for you without sin. But Jesus cannot be made one's own, taken into the heart, if you lose him. Having worshipped in the temple and celebrated the Passover, Mary and Joseph make their way home, and they lose Jesus. They lost him, and they didn't know it. Why didn't they know it? Well, they supposed him to have been with their company, the crowd making the trip with them. They lost Jesus because they no longer heard Jesus. They lost Jesus because they no longer saw Jesus. They lost Jesus because they supposed he was with them despite not seeing or hearing him in their midst. Beloved, this text isn't about the parenting skills of Mary and Joseph. This text is all about losing and finding Jesus, and therefore also salvation. For losing Jesus, one loses everything. Losing Jesus, you lose salvation. Supposing him to be in your midst without hearing and seeing him is downright foolish. Mm-hmm. Yet how many who call themselves Christian fail to hear him? How many suppose him to be with them, but never hear his voice, his word, and they never behold his works in his sacraments? And how many look for Jesus everywhere? That's what Mary and Joseph did. They realized that they had lost him, and they started looking everywhere. They spent 3 days going here and looking there, and they did not find him. They did not find him because they supposed him to be where he was not. So it is with humanity's fallen reason. We suppose Jesus to be in places other than where he's promised to be. We do this because we don't really fully grasp the humility of our God. After all, who would look in Bethlehem for the King of Kings? And who would look in the manger for a good shepherd? Who would suppose an infant to be the creator of all the stars in the heavens? Man's reason cannot fully fathom the mystery that is the incarnation. Man's supposing cannot imagine that God would not choose the mighty, the glorious, the beautiful, the spectacular, the extraordinary. So we look everywhere, and we never find anywhere. Never finding leads to doubt. Doubt leads to despair and depression. Faith has nothing to grasp, no word, no object, nothing to fill the heart with peace. And as you know, nature abhors a void. The heart must have a God, Faith must have an object. Without the certainty of possessing Jesus, the heart covets, lusts, schemes, chases, and makes every effort to acquire good things for the wrong use. Things like family. But not just any family. The kind of family you brag about on the back of your SUV. Or your career. But not just any career. It's got to be the kind of career you brag about at your high school reunion. Or your education. But not just any education. The kind of education you brag about on your resume. Or your house. Or your car. Or maybe it's something more spiritual, like your yearly pilgrimage to the soup kitchen. All of this chasing, scheming, and coveting, it's pretty easy to lose Jesus and not even know it. Mary and Joseph could lose him. So can you. And then, in our text, Luke gives us Jesus' first words. Having searched Jerusalem for 3 days, Mary and Joseph finally find him in the temple. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Sinful humanity always thinks it's God's fault that we can't find him. But Jesus answered, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Mary and Joseph should have known. Jesus must be about his Father's business. But we don't know. We don't get it because we suppose the Father's business is something other than giving the forgiveness of sins for our salvation. All of our scheming, chasing, and coveting is a pursuit of the blessings of God rather than pursuing God himself where he's found. Father's business for you is the giving of his Son for you. This doesn't sound like or look like anything we would suppose, but rather everything we would consider to be less than worthy of the dignity of our God. It's for this reason that King Herod does not go and worship a child, nor do the priests make their way off to Bethlehem. Such things instead are given to unclean shepherds and Gentile magi. And though Jesus came to his own, he was not received by them. Though Jesus is before Abraham was, the Jews rejected him. And their rejection led to crucifixion. And who would ever suppose to find God on the cross? But that's exactly the Father's business that Jesus came to do for you and me and for the world. Here on the cross, in the most unlikely of places, to find God, Jesus reveals the love of God, manifesting such affection through suffering and death mixed with blood, sweat, and tears. For the love of God is the giving of his Son for you. And this giving is not wrapped in decorative paper. This giving is not brought about by a man riding in a sleigh, nor is it hidden off from view, tucked away as a surprise. No, beloved, this giving, this gift, this love for you and for the world is nailed to dead wood for all the world to see, for all the world to draw near. And you, having been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Though he dies on Friday, he rises on Sunday. Though he is buried and sealed behind rock, he is risen and has burst the 3-day tomb, shattering the curse and breaking the fetters of our bondage to sin. Though he is humiliated, he is exalted. And all this, beloved, is the Father's business for you. Why were you seeking? What were you looking for? Did you not know that if you're looking for a lucky charm, you won't find it in Jesus? If you're looking for a co-pilot, Jesus isn't your man. If you're looking for a stylized Jesus, a guy with a lot of product in his hair, who drinks decaf and makes pithy statements about life and such, he's not that sort of guy either. Jesus didn't come to be cool, revolutionary, or hip. He's not the prize fighter, manly man sort of Jesus who's come to bump you up morally, emotionally, or whatever it is you hope to get from him. Nor is he the wimp who runs away whenever someone gets in his face. Jesus has come to do his Father's business. And his Father's business is all about winning the forgiveness of sins for you through his death and resurrection. If you're looking for any other sort of Jesus, you will never find the true Jesus. Because the true Jesus, the one born of Mary, the one crucified, dead, buried, risen, and ascended to the Father's right hand, is found only in his church. Jesus is found only in his word. So listen to him. Jesus is found only in his sacraments. So behold him. He's under the bread and wine with his body and his blood. He's in the water with his name and his passion. And he speaks tenderly to his people from this pulpit and that lectern. Through these, Jesus is with his people. He's found by what is heard and what is seen. He's received by faith in the heart. And having received him, he goes with you. Jesus is found in his church so that he can be found forgiving sinners like you and me and all who draw near. He's found, and so he is worshipped. To worship Jesus is to receive from Jesus the gifts the Father sent him to deliver. Worship Jesus is to believe in Jesus. And to believe in Jesus is to worship Jesus where he's promised to be. For without the hearing and the beholding, without the believing and the worshiping, you will lose Jesus. You will lose eternal life. Beloved in the Lord, Jesus went down with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth. And he was submissive to them. Subject to them. He went with them, for them, even as he does with his people today. Having received Jesus today, he goes with you and for you. As you continue to receive him in word and sacrament by your hearing and beholding, Jesus will increase and you will decrease. Mm-hmm. The word will work on your heart, and your heart and soul will be conformed to Christ and his cross. When you are where Christ is, you cannot lose. For Christ is always about the Father's business. And the Father's business is always for your glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
We stand.